irresponsible of the teachers. And but anyway, let's stand and let's sing our opening up song again. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond no measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest.
Thank you, Mr. Larry. You guys can be seated. Thank you for being here in the Victory Bible class. Next week, we're going to have a new song to start out with. Whoever gets to Miss Jennifer and gives her the next song, that's what it'll be. All right? So if you want a new song, go see Miss Jennifer, and we'll have something next week. All right. Going to move on here. We'll get something to... Hang on a second. Somebody hijacked my slides here. That's not supposed to be up there. Hang on a minute. Hold it. There we go. All right, y'all chew on that one for just a moment, okay? That's a little better, huh? All right. Hey, that could have happened. Who knows? Huh? Golfing in the desert. What a thing. Hang on. Let's see here. I'm clicking. Mr. John, you're going to have to help me advance the slides. I'm clicking, but it's not working. There we go. VBC class notes. David Harrison got a scan coming up on 9/4, that's Wednesday. Any other medical procedures or something coming up this coming week? You got one this week?
I got a consult on the 10th.
All right, on the 10th? Any others?
When I can have surgery.
Okay.
All right.
Any other? All right. David Harrison also is going to be preaching in Kentucky today through Wednesday. So, yes, got one back here.
Terry has on his
list.
He's going to be
surgery
Tuesday.
This Tuesday? All right. All right. So we got a surgery Tuesday. We've got a David Harrison's going in for a scan on Thursday. There you go. And any others? If I can know in advance, I'd like to put these on a slide each week just so we have it on a, yeah, that's okay, on a weekly thing so we can have it fresh in our minds to be praying for each other for immediate needs coming up. All right. Mr. John, you can just advance me one more. There you can, I'll let you do that. I know, we should do that, shouldn't we? We should do that. We do want to welcome our visitors. If you're visiting with us to Victory Bible Class, thank you for being here. And we want to welcome you if you're joining online. Also, our mission slide, please keep in mind our missionaries that we're praying for in this class. As you go through your week and they come across your mind, please pray for them. Buddy's still in Yap. He'll be back when he gets here.
What's Yap?
All right. Yap is an island out in the South Pacific. All right. John will advance one more. We'll go to birthdays and anniversaries. We do want to wish happy birthday this week to Miss Jenny Green. And we've got an anniversary for the Womplers on the 2nd for 58. Did I get the right number? Miss Jenny, you don't even look 58. This is not the right number. I don't know. Is it really 58? Congratulations. That's awesome. Anybody anniversaries or birthdays that we missed? Any others? Any others? Any others? All right. Well, happy birthday and happy anniversary to you guys. John will advance one more. Here's some scripture we'll be taking a peek at, mainly in Ephesians 2. But I think we are going to get to these other scriptures today. So if you want to go ahead and look those up, I do encourage you to always follow along in your Bible as we look at the scriptures. I'm going to read off some updates to the prayer list right quick. And we'll pray, and then we'll get into the Word. All right. Carrie DeWitt's daughter, kidney issues, and she is expecting, as in pregnant. Okay, and James Woods, is this a attempted suicide? He's still in jail, right? Okay. He's still in jail? Okay, all right. So James Woods on watch. Okay. Right, so James Woods having some special issues there, and then Carrie DeWitt's daughter, kidney issues, and she's pregnant. Let's pray, and we'll dig into the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, do want to give you thanks for the class you've given to us. Thank for the time here we can carve out each week. We can come together. We can fellowship. We can encourage each other. We can share things that need prayer. And I've just read two of them. We've got a scan coming up this week. We've got a surgery coming up this week. And the Harrisons are in Kentucky preaching in a conference, and just want to pray for that as well. The Foreigns, I believe, in Greenville today, preaching a conference. Just want to pray for them. And many other things going on in this class. We have people recovering from procedures. We have people still in mourning over losses of loved ones. And so just want to remember these, remember our class, our members that are going through so many different things. And we do want to remember our missionaries. We've got missionaries spread out all over the world right now. We've got one of our class members in Yap, and just pray for Buddy there. And we pray for Miss Summer having some health issues going on, and just pray your blessing on her. I know she's, I believe, got some surgery scheduled here in a few weeks. And then we got Miss Maddie in Africa, and we've got the Carriers in South America. Just praying your blessing on their ministries. And we pray for this class. May this class be a blessing to the folks that have come here today. And may we encourage each other. May we all be in your word every single day this week. May we be in prayer every single day. That's how we put on the armor of God, how we get the fruit of the Spirit, and how we begin to grow in grace. And that's what we want as a class. And so, again, Lord, bless our time together. Help us as we study, look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. John will advance one more slide there. So there's our text we've been looking at, Ephesians 4. 32, be kind one to another. Please read the quote down below as we're looking at the opening verse here. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we're looking at this idea of kindness. And if you look at that quote that's down below, a lot of truth to that, isn't there? A lot of truth to that. Our goal here in this study of kindness is for each one of us to look introspectively inside and say, am I a kind person as the Bible defines kindness? Is that me? If it isn't, then it needs to be, because we are told to be kind. And as we go to our next slide, this is sort of where we left off last week. And we want to kind of really focus in on the third bullet point there. It says kindness there's a tendency to breed reciprocity. So if we want people to be kind to us, we need to be kind to them. And there's just a way that seems to work. And so somebody that says, man, we live in such a terrible world. People are so mean and selfish and unkind. Nobody's ever kind to me. The problem could possibly be that you're not kind to other people. And we're going to dig into that, because I love this one. I love what the Bible has to say about it. And so, John, if we want to advance one more slide, please. Matthew 7. Real familiar verse here, but let's take a look at it. Before I even read this verse, what do we generally call this verse? What is it called? The Golden Rule. Yes, I heard it. Golden Rule. But let's look at it. Let's look at what it says. And keep in mind our title here of this slide. Kindness tends to breed reciprocity. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, what does it say, class? do ye even so to them. Let's plug our idea of kindness into this verse and see if it fits. Can we do that? Would that be fair? Let's go back. Therefore, all the kindness that ye would have men do unto you, do that kindness unto them. That would work, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Isn't that what the verse is saying? Yep. Let's look at another one. Proverbs 11 will be our next verse. Proverbs 11, verse 25. Sorry, I got to look here. Oh, we're about there. Don, we'll advance one more slide. Sorry, I didn't tell you. Proverbs 11, 25. The liberal soul, liberal meaning unselfish, one that's giving. Are you a giving person? The liberal soul shall be made fat, shall have plenty. We have the idea a lot of times, don't we, that if I give out, I'll have nothing left. Isn't that how it works? Well, the scripture says here, the liberal soul, that one who gives out, shall be made fat. But it goes on. Check the next part of the verse. He that watereth. Imagine, in fact, I've got a bottle of water here somewhere. Oh, can I use this one? Yeah, this is a big one. All right, I got my bottle of water. Y'all see me drinking this all the time. I walk around all the time with a bottle of water. I like to stay well hydrated. But it says, he that watereth, if I was watering, I would have to pop off the top, and don't worry, I'm not going to do this, and I would pour it out, and I would water, and the water that I have is going to be decreased, right? And finally, I've got nothing left. That doesn't sound like a good deal, because how am I going to get my water? I've given it out. What does it say? He that watereth shall be watered also himself. What if we plugged our idea of kindness into that part of the verse? What if we tried that? He that giveth out kindness out of the bottle. Imagine I had a bottle of kindness here. What if I had this? Not water, but kindness. He that pour out the kindness to other people. What does it say? He shall be watered. He shall receive kindness also himself. Guess what? My bottle will be filled back up with kindness that other people are doing to me. Does that work 100% across the board every time you're kind? No, because there's just some mean, ornery people out there, aren't there? Aren't there? And they're just not going to be kind no matter what. But guess what? The Bible tells us to be kind regardless, doesn't it? Isn't that what our text says? But if I spend a lifetime and I make kindness a habit and it becomes a lifestyle for me, not that I was kind one time 48 years ago and then I've been a mean old guy ever since. No, that's not what we're saying. I have a lifestyle, a habit, habitually practicing kindness, bringing it into being, and I'm pouring it out. Over time, kindness will come back to me, and that's what our text says. Let's look at one more verse. Man, I love that Proverbs 11:25. Isn't that a great verse? One more verse. John, we'll go to one more slide. Galatians chapter 6. Oh, we've all heard sermons on this verse. I sure hope you have. If you have not heard a sermon on this verse in a while, you ought to go out to YouTube. You can find 1,000 of them and listen to it, because this is a good verse. It's something sometimes we kind of intellectually know this, but we need to be reminded of it. And the verse starts out with, be not deceived. Why would Paul put something like that in there? What do you think? Why would he write that? Well, I think because the Galatians were being deceived. And if Paul wrote to the Galatians, by proxy, he's writing to us, isn't he? Is it possible we can be deceived? Yeah, I think it is. And Paul said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, we all know this verse, right? This is a common verse. We've heard a lot of sermons on it. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He's using sowing and reaping. We all get that, don't we? Corn, apples, strawberries, peaches. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap, right? Makes sense. And most Most sermons I've ever heard on this verse are negative. You know what I mean? Like, the sermon will focus on if you sow into a life of sin, if we go out and live a sinful life, we're going to reap some bad things. There are consequences from living that way. We've all seen it happen in other people. We've experienced it ourselves, at least to some degree. All of us have. What we sow, we're going to reap. But there's actually a positive side to this verse. If we sow good things that the Bible tells us to do, we're going to reap in kind. In fact, since I use the word kind, how about we plug our thought of kindness into this verse? What if we tried that? For whatsoever a man soweth in kindness to others, that shall he also reap in kindness from others. Would that be fair? We could plug kindness in here, couldn't we? Our text in Ephesians 4 says, be kind one to another. I've got to ask you, as I ask myself, are you a kind person? Are you kind when it's convenient? Are you kind when you're sure you're going to get something back immediately? Are you kind when someone is watching and you want to be kind just so you'll look good? Or are you truly a kind person when none of those other things are true? You're kind just because the Bible tells us to be kind. Are we kind people? There's a lot of advantages to being kind. We'll have a better life. Kindness will come back to us. So that, we're going to stop right there. We'll pick up on this next week. Marty's going to be speaking with us today because the Foreigns are in Greenville, I believe, at a mission conference. Marty, I failed to make a slide for you because Graham probably told me you were speaking and I just forgot it. But anyway,
that's quite
you don't
right.
get a slide, but you'll get that's the best introduction I can give you. So you come on up and speak to us.
That's much better than I deserve. Thank you.
And John will control the slides for you.
Okay. Luke chapter 12 is where I'm going to springboard from this morning. And I say it every time, but I mean it. I appreciate Brother Graham asking me to do this. I don't take it lightly, him giving me the opportunity. And as I said last time, I'll say again as well, this time he'll have you in the deep end of the pool next week. Uh-oh. I'm going to have you in the shallow end. I can't go that way. I'm sure he'll explain the Trinity exactly how you can completely understand it. And just tell him I said that was Mark, that could be his lesson. He could explain the Trinity. But so today I'm going to talk about biblical giving. And I struggled with this for a while, but I couldn't get away from it. And feel like this is what the Lord had me to be, and I, like I said, I just couldn't get away from it. So Luke chapter 12 verse 34, it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Today we're going to look at a very simple principle, but in my own life the simple principles have made the most impact, I believe. And just because I say it's simple doesn't mean it's always easy. This lesson will be about a lot about what I've learned in my own life and experience, and I haven't always done things right. So, I was talking to a gentleman the other day at work, and he brought up the subject of if I was to come into a large sum of money, what would I do with it? And I said, well, the first thing I'd do is I'd pay a tithe. And he said, oh, wow, if you used to pay a tithe, they wouldn't have to pass the offering plate. It's ironic they're passing them now. But I told him, I said, well, it's not about the church needing the money. I said, it's about everyone having an opportunity to give. Giving is about the opportunity. It's not about the necessarily, in my opinion, it is to meet the needs of the church, but it isn't about once they get enough, they can quit passing offering plate. So, it's not about ensuring the lights are on, the buses have fuel, the staff is paid. There's so much more to this that I believe it needs to be applied to every life. And I know I've had a few classes on public speaking and how you don't lose your crowd and everything like that. So, John, next slide. So, this is Jackson. Because I think I lost half of you when I was afraid I'd lose half of you when I started talking about giving. Jackson always brings joy to my life. And so I thought I'd share a little joy to your life and lighten it up. That's my favorite grandson. So
you don't have a grandson. There ain't a way.
There is a way, and I'm thankful for him. Okay.
You're not old enough.
I'm plenty old enough, I promise.
You don't look it.
Well, thank you. John, next slide, please. So we look at giving in two different ways. Today we're going to look at the tithe, and then we're going to look at offerings. And the tithe is defined both ways in the New Testament and the Old Testament. It's defined as the tenth. So, and I forgot to pray before I got started, and I want to correct that right now. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these people that came out and opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you bless this message, make it plain, make it understandable. Thank you, Lord, for having used it in my life. I pray that you get honor and glory through all that's said and done here on the grounds today. In Jesus' name, amen. So a tithe is a tenth, and it is explained that it's defined as a tenth in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Both places it's that way. So, John, next slide, please. Let's look at what the Old Testament says about the tithe. First mention of the tithe in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, it says, "Blessed be the Most High God, which delivered thine enemies in thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all." This is talking about Abraham giving to Melchizedek, which I believe is an incarnate picture of Christ of the Old Testament. And we can see here, this is the first mention of it. So this is even before the law. Some people say the tithe is legalistic and it's part of the law, but it's not, because this is even before the law was given. And I'll explain some things here as I go through this. This is a personal conviction of mine. I had a Sunday school teacher one time. I'll give his initials, Wade Farmer. He taught a Sunday school lesson, and he said, "God doesn't owe taxes." And I thought, wow, if an accountant says that, he knows. He probably never filed taxes. So that I made that application in my own life. I think this is something where you have to come to on your own, because it says here, the first mention of it in Genesis, he gave tithes of all. So that's where it helped me, and it helped change my life tremendously in that. So you should be given of the first fruit, and should be given of the all. The next verse is Deuteronomy chapter 14, 22. It says, "Thou shalt give a tithe of the increase of thy seed, that of the field bring forth year by year." So it's of the increase. It's what we get, what we increase of, what the Lord gives us, provide for us. Next slide, John, please. And then we're going to look at the New Testament. Here, these verses are very similar. I'm going to take a time out from tithing. I want you to look at these verses. As I was studying this, I want you to look at what Luke wrote and what Matthew wrote. Do you think Matthew was mad at the scribes and Pharisees? Do you think the scribes and Pharisees had been treated Matthew wrongly? Luke, from what I understand, probably got his translation probably from Peter, from what I've read. But Matthew was there, and he heard it. And I found that fascinating, just to think about how the two different writers said the same things. But you imagine what Luke went through as a publican, and what he experienced from the scribes and Pharisees. He would have been a hated person. But you see these verses here where it talks about, I'll read Luke 11:42. It says, "Woe unto you, Pharisees, you tithe mint, rue, all manner of herbs, pass over the judgment of the judgment and the love of God. These things you ought have done, and not leave the other undone." So we see here in both these verses where the Lord Jesus is commending them for paying their tithe. He said, you should have done these things, the tenth. So as we got the Old Testament example, we got the New Testament example of it, he confirms it. We have to be careful, I have to be careful, in this fact of tithe. We must have a balanced life. Giving money is not enough. We can't stroke a check to, I can't stroke, which I say we, this is where the Lord really dealt with me, is I can't stroke a check to pacify my obligation to show the love of God. Don't look over the love of God just because you write a check. Yes, you should pay your tithes, but don't look over the love of God. Don't forget to give someone the gospel. Paying someone else to go to give the gospel is not an excuse for us not to. So, but we see there where Jesus is confirming it in the New Testament. So there's a New Testament, an Old Testament thing. Next slide, John. Please. We see here in Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me therein, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that thou shalt not be room, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So we look here in this verse, it talks about the tithes. It says, "Bring the tithes in the storehouse." And he's talking about, it's to prove me. This is where he's saying, test me. And it's also, this is following the verses where he's telling them, hey, you've robbed me of tithes and offerings. And there's a difference between stealing and robbing. I've been robbed before on my job at the mail route. That's a whole different story. But I can tell you there's a whole lot different. Somebody sneaking and stealing something, or somebody, there's someone robbing you. And so that's in the context of this. He said, prove me, test me, see if this doesn't happen. And it says, bring into the storehouse, and I believe this is your local church. If this is where you decide the Lord has led you to bring home, call your church home, I believe you're bringing into this local church. And then lastly, look at that. Who's to say what the blessings can be? That verse doesn't say, I want to give you a lot of money. There's lots of people that would take health over money. There's lots of people that would love to see someone saved over money. There's lots of people that love to have peace over money. Who's to say what the blessing will be? The Lord knows what we need. If we obey him in our giving of the tithe and bring it to the right place and do the right things with it, provide for the local church where we can keep the buses running, keep the lights on, pay the staff, who's to say what the blessing would be? I've heard this before, and they're talking, and I've heard people made the implication of it being monetary, that you'd receive money. I can't find that there. Every time I read that and I've studied it, I don't know. It could be, but who's to say what the blessing would be? Okay, so that's tithes. John, next slide, please. So we're going to look at offerings here, and I looked up offerings, and the best definition I could find of it, Strong's was, they had different things. They're all very similar, but it didn't really define it as well, I think. But this is a Webster definition. It says, to present as an act of worship or devotion or sacrifice. So think about that. Offerings, an offering. To present as an act of worship or devotion or sacrifice. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, talks about where the poor widow brought her two mites in and cast them in. It says, let me just read it. And he said, he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into treasury. And he saw a certain poor widow casting thither two mites, and said, of truth, I say unto you, that the poor widow cast in more than they all. For these things they have their abundance and cast in offerings of God. But she gave her penury, has cast all the living she has. So offering, the tithes of the Lord, I think that's cut and dry in my opinion. It's pretty plain. That should be of the Lord. I think it should come to the church. And it's pretty cut and dry. Offerings, I think this is a great definition of it. It's presented as an act of worship or devotion or sacrifice. The amount doesn't matter. As we see here, it's not the importance of the amount. Because it, as we see here, she gave two, but she gave all she had. And I think the key to offerings is giving how the Lord leads you. I think that's when you're going to mess up, is if the Lord leads you to give them out. If it's $5, you give $5. If the Lord leads you to give you more than that, then you give more than that. I think that's where you would mess up on this, because the size doesn't matter. Next slide, John, please. Then we look at 2 Corinthians 9 through or chapter 9, 6 and 7. It says, "But I say unto you, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as the purpose in his heart, let him so give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but for the love of for God loveth the cheerful giver." There are so many things I could spend the rest of my time talking about right here. But I think it just boils down to sacrificial giving is a heart matter. It says, every man accordingly, as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Whatever the Lord leads you or shows you to give, this is the offering. This is different than a tithe again. You give what the Lord tells you to do, and it's a heart matter. It's 100% what your heart would be. Now, next slide, John, please. Let's look at this one right here. It says, how much should we give? The Bible is very clear on the tithe. It's 10%. And offerings is anything that's above the tithe. So if you want to give to an offering, if you want to give an offering, I believe it has to be above the tithe. Because until you reach the tithe, you're not where you need to be with the Lord. Because the Lord is very clear on giving the tithe. And then if you want to give an offering, that should be above your tithe. Okay? We're about to start faith promise, and this even includes faith promise. I believe you need to give your tithe before you give your faith promise. I think you should give the faith promise. I give the faith promise. It was a life-changing decision in my wife and ours lives when we decided to give, I'll tell you, $5 when we first, that's all we could afford, was $5 a week, okay? I was making $8.25 an hour, so that means I had to work the first 2 weeks, got every pay 2 weeks, first 2 hours is what I had to pay the faith promise, and the Lord blessed us tremendously. I think you should, but you need to pay the tithe first. And I say that even though we're going to faith promise and we got lots of missionaries that we need to support, lots of work that needs to be done. This church has been a very generous church towards missionaries, towards the staff, towards everything. Even to me, my family, my daughter has experienced the generosity of this church. And it's very overwhelming to think about. But how do we give? I think we give to our how much do we give? We give the local church, and then we give an offering above the tithe. Next slide, John, please. How do we give? I believe the local tithe goes to the tithe goes to the local church, because it's very clear the Bible says the storehouse. It's where you store it up. And I think offerings ought to start at the local church. Now, it doesn't have to stay at the local church. We give to things outside the church, but I think that ought to be, if the Lord leads you here and he leads you to be under Pastor Herdman's leadership, I think you ought to follow his leadership in the things that's going on at the church, and offerings ought to start at the church. Now, it can go outside the church, but here's the thing, you better be careful where you give to outside the church. There's a lot that falls under the Christian umbrella as far as people taking money. And we're all going to have to be accounted for all this stuff that the Lord has entrusted us with. So I think you have to make sure that if you give outside of church, you have to make sure that it lines up with the Bible. Okay, next slide, John, please. Giving should be as an opportunity, not as an obligation. I have messed this up before in my early in my Christian life. I'll just be very transparent. I gave initially because I knew it was what I was supposed to do, and I did it out of obligation. And the Lord helped me to grow and see that it's not an obligation to give to the Lord, because the Lord has been so very good to us. It's just tremendous how he's blessed us. I think one opportunity is to exercise our faith. We see where the first mention of this was in Genesis, where Abraham, the father of faith. He's our example. The Bible talks about these things are given us for us examples. He's considered the father of faith, and the father of faith gave a tithe to Melchizedek of his increase of all. So it's an opportunity to exercise our faith. And I know it can be, at times it can take faith. I know that. I've experienced it in my own life. It's an opportunity to obey. It's an opportunity to submit. Saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to give like you tell me to give. I'm going to obey with the tithe. I'm going to see where you lead me with the offering. It ensures we keep money in the right place in our lives. There's been times in my life I've had money out of place in my life, being honest. But giving a tithe and offering helps me keep it in line. Because if we don't, it'd be like the young rich ruler that went away sorrowful because he had many riches when the Lord told him to sell what he had and follow. It's an opportunity to express gratitude for all that the Lord has done for us. I know in my own life, the Lord has been so much better than me than I deserve. And I can't believe, I've told some people this before, I feel like I'm his favorite child. He's been so good to me. Because he has. I know he loves us all the same, but sometimes I feel like his favorite child. So it's an opportunity to express our gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. Because I tell you, the Lord doesn't need our money. He's still God. He's God. He doesn't need our money. This is an opportunity for us. It's not about helping God out. It's truly a heart matter. Verse opened up with Luke 12:34. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Some things that have really helped me in my life and some scripture here that's helped me as far as giving and trusting and faith. And John, if you'll take the next slide, please. Some promises that helped me. Psalms 34:25 says, when I have been young, now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. That's true. I'm telling you right now, look at me, I can tell you it's true. The Lord's always took care of me. He's always provided for me. Give, Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure as you met with all it shall measured unto you to you again. So if you give, it's going to get back. And that doesn't mean necessarily money. I think that you could experience the blessings of people being there, having good friendships. The Lord provide you friendships, show you things in his word. I've experienced that in my life when I do the simple things. I study his word, it opens up to me, helps me understand it. One thing it doesn't promise is the Lord doesn't promise to give you wealth based on what you give. There's some doctrine out there, some teaching, if you give, the Lord's going to give you that. I don't see that in the Bible. I just don't see it. And it's just, I just keep going back. It's just amazing how good the Lord's been to me and how he's provided for me. And so, John, next slide. We'll bring you back to bringing you around. All right, so I'm tearing down walls. Speakers, right? You don't put walls up. Tear down the walls when you're speaking to your crowd. So I'm tearing down walls. So Jackson, my favorite grandson. He is, but we're hoping for a lot more. I'm telling my son to get busy. But anyways, so thinking of Jackson. Jackson is in Colorado now, but he comes on Sunday. He's in the nursery. Mark's wife comes in here and asks for workers. Right? Because the nursery right now is a blessing that is full of people. That is a tremendous blessing. All these kids around here, that's a great thing. Tremendous thing. Jackson and that nursery is counting on us. Who was here? Is it 63 or 65 we come into this chapel was built?
This was
65. Anybody here in 65? Got one. I wasn't here. Two, three. I wasn't here. I'm reaping, the vast majority of us are reaping the benefits of people that obeyed God and brought into the storehouse here today. I wasn't here in 75. I wasn't here for any of these things. It's because of faithful people doing that. Jackson in the nursery, all these kids are counting on us to do what's right, to obey the Lord. Even as simple things as the giving. There's so much more he's counting on, they're counting on us to do. But this is just one of the simple principles. The simple ones are some of the most profound in my life. They're counting on us. We, the vast majority of us in here, are reaping the benefits of this, and we didn't have anything to do with it. Not only are they counting on us to obey the Lord, they're counting on us to tell them about this. Okay, so if you're in here and you're like, man, Marty, I'm paying my tithes, I'm giving my offering, I'm doing, I've got you. I'm there. Are you telling someone else how to do this? They're not getting this out on the street. With the Lord's help, I intend to tell Jackson this. Is there someone else in our families that we need to share this with to make sure they understand? I went through this with my kids. Money can be an uncomfortable subject, but it's only because we make it that way. But they need to know these things. These next generations are counting on this. We're reaping the benefits from it now. We're going to go set an auditorium. 1975 was built. I was born in 1975. And this all boils down to just a pure heart matter. Trusting in the Lord. Keeping our things in line with what the Lord tells us. And simply obeying. I can tell you in my own life, like three milestones in my own life, my testimony. I was saved when I was 10 years old. Went through a period of time where I wasn't in a church that didn't talk about reading the Bible. Started coming to church here. Preacher Lastly was preaching in the church, and he said, don't take my word for it. See how a man lines up against the word of God. That's verbatim the quote, because it changed my life. I said, I'll do that. So I started reading my Bible. Salvation and reading my Bible, two of the biggest things that impacted my life. The next thing was giving the faith promise. And we were giving our tithe and doing our thing. But my wife and I got under conviction about it, and we said, we need to give something. And it's $5 a week. I can look back on my life and see certain milestones that made huge impacts, and that was one of them. Because we obeyed the Lord in our giving. It wasn't much, it's $5 a week. But it's what the Lord had us to give. I didn't want to talk about money today. But I think this is what the Lord had me teach on. So, are we giving our tithe? Are we giving? Are we giving right? Are we giving the right heart? And are we a cheerful giver? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Father, thank you for how much you've given me. Lord, you've been so much better to me than I deserve. You've been so good to this church. This church is such a giving church. And I thank you for their heart, their generous attitude. Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Help me to be right with my giving, to follow you. The giving faith, Lord, giving trusting in you is a sign of obedience and worship. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Blessing the service followed by his pastors, he preaches, the singing, and everything that goes on. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.